What's up, everybody? Hey, we're so glad you joined us this morning at Motion Church. I asked them if they would let me sing that, and for some reason, they thought it would not be a good idea. But they don't know. I can hit those high notes. It's real. Hey, so we're doing a series this month called Power Couples. And if you missed it last week, kind of the premise of the series is very straightforward, right? This is the time of the year when we start to think about love, right? We've commercialized it. In fact, we have Valentine's Day is in 5 days, gentlemen. You're welcome. 5 days until Valentine's Day. So if you have not made plans, you better start to think about what it is that you're going to get for your significant other. So the point is, this is a time of the year when we start to think about relationships and everything, every commercial, everything you see on Facebook, everything around us, all the things that we are inundated with revolve around relationships, right? And so what a great thing for us as a church to kind of, hey, let's take the charge on this, because there's a lot of misinformation out there as to what relationships are and should be. Hello, Disney, right? Hello, Hollywood. Hello, all the stupid magazines. People actually buy the magazines that are sitting at the cashier, like at the where you check out. And you're not laughing, so it's you. People actually pay for this stuff, like the tabloids and the garbage. And we are presented with, this is what relationships are. Or maybe even worse, this is what relationships are supposed to be. And that's garbage. It's false. It's not reality. The reality is that relationships don't very often look anything like what we're told they're supposed to look like. There are no fairy tales. They're just not, right? There is not a, you know, once upon a time and a happily ever after. That's not how this stuff works. So relationships are challenging. And what's so great about this is it's not just limited to, hey, if you're married, this is for you. If you're dating, this is for you. This is for all of us, because every relationship has principles that work in them, right? They transcend the type of relationship and kind of apply to and affect all the other types of relationships. So as a father and a son and a brother, like all the relationships or the roles that I have, then these principles apply to those relationships. So if you're a mother, a sister, an employee, an employer, all of the exchanges that we have with people, the things that we're looking at in this series will help us. And God knows I need some help. Now, y'all may not. Like, this really, if anything, this series is just for me. Because on a pretty regular basis, I'll just be honest with you guys, this week, I'm like, I suck as a husband, and I suck as a dad. I'm just telling y'all the truth. This is how I feel, right? Because you have these moments where you said things that you probably shouldn't have said, and we talked last week how it's toothpaste, right? Once it's out, you ain't getting it back in. It's gone, right? It's out there. And then my kids, like, poor things, man. Thank God we've got counselors that go to this church, because my children probably going to need your services at some point in their life. And I'm going to need it, because they drive me up the... No, I'm just kidding. But then... And Shelly is so good about this. What I'll say things, or I'll have an attitude about the way that my kids are, and you know, I'm like, we ain't gonna do it like that, right? Like, just stupid dad stuff, right? And then I start to think about the importance of my role in their lives, and I am helping to shape the way that they view people. And I don't always do the best job. I need to be better in that relationship. So the things that we're looking at matter for all of us, right? God expects us to be in relationships. We are not called to be mavericks. We're not called to be lone rangers. We're called to be in relationships. And because he expects it, he gives us guidance in it, right? I love that God doesn't just tell us what to do and say, well, figure it out, right? Like most of you do when you buy something and you have the instruction manual, and you dispose of it immediately. That's the first thing that finds the trash can is the instruction manual, because I'm a man. I'm going to figure this out, and I have power tools. Bless God if it doesn't work the way it's supposed to work, because I've got screws and hammers, and I mean, it's coming together, whether it's the way it was intended to be or not, right? And I think we take the same approach in our relationships. We've got guidance, we've got instruction, we've got clarity around how we're supposed to interact in our relationships, but sometimes we try to force our own and impose our own kind of regulations and instruction up in there, and that's not the way that he does it. So God expects it from us. He expects us to be in relationships. He doesn't want us to be alone. And because he doesn't want us to be alone, and he knows how challenging relationships are, he gives us some wisdom, some guidance on it. So the passage that we're looking at kind of as the heart of this series is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's a piece of wisdom literature in the Old Testament, and it really drives home the importance and the benefit of being in relationships. And it kind of comes back to this principle of two is better than one. Two is better than one. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says this. What does it say? Fascinating. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, and you will, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That really is, we'll talk more about this next week, but that really is probably one of the saddest situations, where people have isolated themselves to the point that when they fall down, they have no one there to help them up. And we get so mad at, well, nobody cares. And we have made ourselves kind of untouchable. Nobody can reach us because we've removed ourselves from interaction, and we haven't allowed people to come in and be in our lives to the degree that they can help us when we fall down. And so it really is a sad thing. Verse 11, it says, also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Bow, chicka, bow, wow. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. That's that literal warmth, right? Cold nights, so we body warmth. But how can one keep warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. It's like tag team. Y'all weren't nearly as excited about that as I was. I just like, tag me in the top rope, right? And then what we looked at last week, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so we actually started at the end of the passage last week, because I think it's paramount. I think it's kind of the foundation for everything else that we'll talk about. It goes through all of these twos, right? Two is better than one. If, you know, you got one falls down, the other can pick them up. There's two, right? Two can defend themselves. One can be overpowered. So it's two, two, two. And then it just throws in this, well, three strands is better than two. What? Like, where did the three come from? And then we talked about how God is the source of the strength, the power in our relationships. That's the third strand in the cord in the relationship. So that's where we started last week. So this week, we're actually going to go back to the top and kind of cruise through this passage and how it applies to us and how we can be power couples, right? And again, this is not limited to, you know, power couples in a sense of you're an actual couple, but when you have two people that are doing anything together, in a sense, they are a couple, right? Now, we don't like to think of it. It's just weird when you start to think about it like that. But if you are a friend and you have a friend, then that friendship, it's two. A couple is two, correct? All right, good. Everybody's tracking. So that's weird. Better together is the first point here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. And so we're going to look at this passage kind of in two different sections here, because it seems to have a very natural break, right? It makes two almost succinct statements, like these standalone statements, but they also connect, right? So the first one is just that two are better than one. It's one of those truths that we know, but we still struggle to embrace. At least I do. You guys, y'all don't apparently struggle with any of the things that I struggle with. Because when I tell you what I'm struggling with, you're like, nah, it ain't me. At least that's the way you look at me, right? Two are better than one. We know that. We probably even believe that. But we still have a really hard time embracing that. Because how many times have you heard or said something like this? I just can't trust anybody. Just can't. Here is the list of people that I trust. Or, this is a good one. You've done this. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Right? We believe there's power in two, but I'm going to do it all by myself. Right? We have known that the truth is, the facts are, the bottom line is that two are better than one, but we still have a really hard time embracing it. And so, I am the world's worst. I'll just do it myself. Bless God. And I try to make it spiritual, and it is not at all. Like, because I am angry at that point, and I'm like, just get away from me. I'll fix it myself. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. And now here's what we don't know, or what we fail to realize sometimes. When we don't allow other people to be in the struggle with us, it's actually not just, it's not robbing us of the ability to get out of the struggle, but it's also robbing them of the opportunity to help us in the struggle, right? And we don't want other people to see a struggle, so we kind of block them out and we stiff arm them and we try to keep them from being part of our struggle, but God has called them to be there with you in your struggle because two are better than one. We have our feelings and then you've got facts. Our feelings are, I want to do this by myself. Our feelings are, I want to get through this on my own to show everybody how strong I am, how powerful I mean, come on, man. Like, aren't we past that? Aren't we mature enough to say that, hey, you know what? I cannot do everything on my own. I am incapable of accomplishing everything that God has called me to accomplish by myself. Why don't you help me? Why don't you join in with me? And let's do this thing together because two are better than one. You could look back at kind of the science of relationships. I love looking, for whatever reason, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd be a neuroscientist. At least in my mind, let me live out my dream, people. And I know I would never make it, right? All of the schooling, I'm like, nah, I'm good, right? But in my mind, I would be a neuroscientist because I love thinking about how the brain works and how it, you know, you can almost trick the brain and train the brain and all these great things that you can do with the brain. But some great things happen in the brain because of our relationships. So I believe that God created us, and he created us, he hardwired us for relationships. That's why your body has these natural responses to relationships and human touch. You have oxytocin and endorphins and serotonin and all of these chemicals that your body naturally produces as a result of being in relationships. You cannot tell me that God didn't do that stuff on purpose, right? He created us for relationships because two are better than one. There was another one I was reading about, and it was called... No, I'm not even going to get into it. There's some weird chemicals that they really study it more in animals, but they're like, hey, we're kind of like that too. We're crazy. So just Google like the psychology of relationships, and there's all kinds of cool stuff that pops up, just to name a few, right? So we're going to look at it. We could go down that path, and we could look at kind of the scientific approach, but I think we're just going to look at it from more of a practical angle of how we are better together. And we'll call this celebrate and insulate because it rhymes, right? Because we're together, because we're better together, one of the ways that we're better together is that we have the ability as, you know, partners in the couple to celebrate and insulate the other person. And they can do the same thing for us. We are called to share each other's successes and victories. But we're also called to share each other's sorrows and griefs. We get to celebrate with each other, but we also insulate and protect each other from the difficulties, the casualties, the cruelty of the world that we live in, and the things that you're gonna have to go through as a result of being human. It's called, look, I don't know who lied to us somewhere along the way and told us that life was supposed to be easy. And I don't know, maybe it was just the introduction of media, and we started thinking about a wonderful life, and you know, as all of this garbage has been perpetuated, life is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, when you're a kid, maybe that's it. Maybe we just don't grow out of our whimsical fantasies that life is easy and good and dandelions and roses and rainbow-puking unicorns. Like, life is hard. And because life is hard, we need to be better together. We need people that can insulate us from the things that we're going to go through. We need people that can celebrate with us. Because here's the thing. A dance party, if you're dancing by yourself, is just weird. Yes. That's weird. That's weird. You need people to dance with. You need people that are with you, that celebrate with you the successes and the achievements that you experience in your life. And they get to make a weird dance party, like a legitimate dance party, more like a flash mob, right? That's not weird when other people are dancing and celebrating with you. But if you're doing it by yourself, that's just weird. Don't do that. Nobody cares. I tell you guys that all of my analogies ultimately come back to sports, and I don't apologize for that anyway. That's who I am, all right? You do you. You shop. You look for clearance stuff, and you Amazon, and you do all, but I am who I am, right? And so there's a quarterback in the NFL named Lamar Jackson, and he wears a shirt to press conferences that says, nobody cares, work harder. And I'm just like, yes. Yes, because I want to like my kids, like, nobody cares, work harder, right? And I told myself that last night. I was like, nobody cares, work harder. Such a mantra, right? And why are we talking about that? I just had to work that in. Some of that. That's like a series waiting to happen. And I promise there was a reason for that, and we'll get back to it in a minute, right? So Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says this: rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. celebrate with those who celebrate, and insulate those who are going through some struggles, some trials, doing things that are hard. And that's the ability that we have. That's what we are called to do. Really, not even, it's less of an ability and more of a responsibility that we have to help each other and be power couples, because two are better than one. What's so cool? Oh, I remember what I was talking about, being, you know, hard things and climbing on top of mountains is where I was going to go. Nobody cares if you climb to the tallest mountain in the entire world and you are, you know, you struggle and you climb and you grind and you freeze, you got frostbite, you're missing half your toes, and you make it to the top of the mountain and you have that moment, right, where you're like, yeah! And the only thing that you hear coming back at you are your own echoes. Nobody cares. Now, if you do it with somebody else, and if you struggle together, and you climb together, and you endure together, and you suffer together, and you get to the top of the mountain, and you can lock hands or lock arms, and you can scream together, man, that is powerful. We are better together. So nobody cares. Work harder. That's how it worked. That's where we were going with all of that. And what's so great about this, when we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we honor the successes in other people's lives and our own lives, and we're not doing things by ourselves. What's so great about this is the successes that you have in your life don't just benefit you, but they directly benefit those closest to you. One of the things that I'm starting to appreciate more and more as I get wiser, not older-ish, right? One of the things that I really just value is the ability to share information that I know is going to be helpful to somebody. Because I have been there, and I have done that, and I see what you're about to go through. I see the struggle that you're about to have, and man, I can help you get through this, and it's not even hard for me. I can just give you a little bit of wisdom, and it's going to be super beneficial to you. There is so much power, and that doesn't cost us much at all. Just a little bit of time and a little bit of effort, but it makes a huge impact on the people that we're doing life with. We celebrate with them the struggle that they're going through by sharing with them the things that we've already gone through. That's good. Thanks, Pastor. Okay, yeah, you guys will appreciate that one later in life, right? And so it's directly beneficial to those around us. The wisdom that you have, the experiences that you've had, even financially, right? I love the saying, the expression, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so God is, as God does more in your life and you know, climb the ladder or whatever you do, or you achieve and you succeed, all of that is not for you. It's not for you. Now, you are told from a very young age that it's all about you, right? Go get yours, I'm gonna get mine, right? And it's all about what you can accumulate, but I love Winston Churchill said, you make a living by what you get, you make a life by what you give. And it's directly to the benefit of those around us because we are better together, we celebrate together. But the other side of that is that we also insulate one another. And again, not to beat a dead horse and not to be melodramatic, but life has challenges, right? Life is good. Life is really good. But it's good because it's hard. Right? What is good if there is no bad? Right? We're not trying to do the whole, like, you know, philosophy 101 or anything, but really, we say things like, well, life is good, man. It's good. How is everything going? That's our patent answer. Huh, it's good. And even if it sucks, we're just like, yeah, it's good. Any other liars in the room? All right, good. I'm not alone. We all need to repent of our... But here's the thing, and I have to be really careful of this. I tend to be a little bit cynical. I know you guys never would struggle with anything like that. So when somebody asks me how I'm doing, I just tell them I'm good because I know they don't really care. Y'all didn't want to hear that. So stop asking me how I'm doing. I'm just kidding. Not y'all. But you know what I'm saying? Like when people, they really don't care. There's just a formality. And they're like, oh, you know, how you doing? I'm good because you don't care, right? That's what we should actually finish the statement. Don't do that. Y'all stop. So we insulate each other. And we help each other stop saying stupid things. Like I need you guys to help me stop saying really dumb things like that, right? So we have the ability to protect one another, and not just protect, because sometimes protection is not that you're not going to have to go through it, but that I'm going to go through it with you. right? We don't have the ability to protect even like those that are closest to us. You do not have the ability to protect your children or your spouse from everything that's going to happen in life. You do not have that. You are not God. You do not have that kind of control over circumstances. But what you do have is the ability to walk with that through them, walk through that with them, right? And again, this is like a Winston Churchill sermon, right? He said, and I don't know why we keep going back to that, but it's just so good, right? Truth is truth. He said, if you're going through hell, just keep going. But y'all know what so many people do? They pitch a tent. And they're like, man, this life is so hard, and life sucks, and this is hard, and this is hell, and they just stay there. And they don't go through it. You're supposed to go through it, not stay in it. And so we need people sometimes to help us. Sometimes we've pitched a tent, and we're staying there, and we need people to come on and knock on our tent and say, get your butt up and get out of here, right? It's time to go through what it is that you're going through, and don't stay there. And so that's one of the many ways that we can look at and see that we are better together. We are better together. It's not easy. It is not easy, but it's better. It's better if we are together. Don't try to do it alone. And the second part of that, the second part of verse 10, it's kind of one of the whys behind the what. And I'm so bad about this. I want to know. Somebody asked me to do something, and I want to know why. Now, I know that's childish, right? Because your kids do this. Why? Why? But that's a legitimate question. Why? I want to know why. You asked me to do something. This is the what. I want to know why. And so here is our why. It says that two are better than one. That's the what. And the why is because they have a good return for their labor. And again, this is what I love about Jesus, right? We're not expected to do things just kind of as this, you know, cruel taskmaster. He's like, do this because I said so. He gives us things to do. He gives us a life to live. And then he tells us why, and he shows us the benefit of doing what he asked us to do. There's blessing in obedience. There always is. There always has been. There always will be, right? The why is that we get a good return for our labor. The what, two are better than one. The why, we get a good return for our labor. What does that even mean? Because I read it, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. More money. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's the first thing that comes to mind, right? There's a good return for labor. When you think, in fact, in business, there's a term, return on labor, and it literally means the compensation, your wages for your work. That's what return on labor means. And so when I think about relationships, I'm like, where my money at? Because apparently I'm not very good at relationships because I ain't getting no money for them, right? Does anybody else have that sort of struggle? And so what it means, let's kind of narrow this down and simplify it to what it actually means. I think it means that your reward is the experience that you get to feel, to go through, the life that you get to live as a result of being in relationships. That's your reward. That's the payout. You get to live, I believe that you live the fullness of the life that God intended you to live if and only if you are in deep and meaningful relationships. I think you miss out on so many things that God has for you if you try to do everything on your own. I think you may have a great relationship with God, but I think you are missing out on the life that he's called you to live if you try to be a maverick. I think the kind of the simplest way to summarize this is that, man, we just get more done together. It's just, I mean, it really is that simple. Like, we do more together. We're more productive. We're stronger when we are together. And this is the why. This is why we put up with each other. Even sometimes, you know, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it, right? Sometimes, I can't figure out, you people, I cannot figure you out. Y'all amen at all the wrong times, and you clap at the most inappropriate moments. Sometimes, man, like the why, again, the why. This is why we put up with each other. This is why we endure each other and we tolerate each other, because there's a payout, there's a reward. We get to, again, coming back to the celebrate and insulate, like when you have a success and I get to celebrate that success with you, all of the other stuff was worth it, right? All of the struggles that we went through and the things about me that you don't like and the things about you that I struggle to deal with, right? The personality differences that we have and the preferences that aren't the same that we have. When we put up with all of that stuff and we get to see the payout, it's all worth it, right? That's the reward for our work. And so, again, accomplishing more together, good reward for their labor. I think that you can kind of see this best when you just think about it in terms of you have two very unique individuals, right? I think that we are all uniquely crafted, custom crafted, and have our own personalities, preferences, quirks, oddities. Some of you are just weird. And that's cool. Like, God made you like that. Sometimes we take it too far, right? God's cool with weird, but some people, when you start doing cosplay and stuff, that's too far. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Sort of. It's sort of a joke. But again, y'all laugh at all the wrong things. But our uniqueness, our differences, is actually the strength of our bond. The differences that we have is what actually makes us stronger, right? The things that you have that I don't have and the things that I have that you don't have is actually what makes us stronger. And so if you actually, there are different types of metals that when you join them, they're so different from one another. If you look at the composition and all the, you know, the things that go into making up a metal, right? I'm not trying to get into it. Two, I'm not that smart. But when you see that you have two different types of metal, when you join them together, they're actually stronger together than they would be on their own. If you take the sum strength of this one and the sum strength of this one, the strength of them together is actually greater than the sum total of their strength individually. Right? Because they're different. Because they have different qualities and characteristics. And I think that is such a beautiful picture of what it's like for us, because you're different than I am, and I'm different than you. When we come together, when we work together, because we're better together, we're actually stronger together. And that's part of the reward for our work. Now we can do more. Now we can endure more. We can stand longer and stand stronger because we're standing together. And that's part of the reward for our labor, right? In so many ways, this is kind of what it means. It comes back to the essence of being a power couple, right? The series, the whole thing, we're tying it in, right? You've wondered how in the world we're going to tie all this stuff in, and here's the opportunity for you to do that. This is the definition of a power couple. It's a couple consisting of two people, because two is a couple, right? I heard a few apparently can be two or more also, which is just really confusing. Few should be three or more, a couple should be two, but by definition, that's not right. So a couple is consisting of two people who are each influential or successful in their own right. Because we're together, that doesn't mean that you're less than significant or less than I am, or you don't have your own abilities and competence and talents and capabilities, right? You are a power person in and of yourself. And hopefully I am too, or you know, whatever the case may be in your power couple, individual parts of your power couple. You guys tracking with? All right, good. So because you have your own strengths and you are a power person, and so is the other person, when you come together, you actually, again, like the metal that's being forged together, you're stronger when you are together. You have your own strengths and you have your own abilities. You are competent on your own, but when we come together, it actually just increases our strength. It increases our capabilities. It strengthens our influence and our impact on the world around us. And that, to me, is really kind of what it all comes back to. Like, we have a responsibility. We are called, go back to, you know, the Great Commission. One of the last things that Jesus told us as his followers to do is to go into all the world and make disciples. And basically for us, what that means is, hey, we just want to point people to Jesus in everything that we do. And one of the greatest ways to do that is by being power couples, by being in relationships with people, and again, not just dating relationships or marriages, but what if you and your children have a power couple type relationship? There is so much dysfunction in the world that we live in that people are enamored, they are drawn to, they are influenced by people who live out these principles. That hey, we may not be right about everything, we may not agree on everything, and you've got your beliefs and your differences and I've got mine, but we're going to come together and we're going to stand together and we're going to be stronger for it, and we believe this is the plan that God has for our life. That is appealing to the broken and the hurt and the lost world that we live in. The dysfunction is real, and people want to see something different than what it is that's right in front of them all of the time, right? Let's go back to the original power couple in Genesis chapter 2. Go all the way back to creation. You have the story in Genesis 2 of the creation of Adam. And so God created Adam, and that was kind of it. It stops at that point. He didn't create Adam and Eve simultaneously. It says that he created Adam, and then he gave him a job, which I heard somebody say one time, if you're looking for a man and he ain't got no job, then you ain't right. Because God didn't, just give me a second. God didn't give Adam Eve until he had a job. So if you're a man and you're looking for a woman, you ain't got no job, stop. This is what it says, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. That was part of his primary responsibility of being on the earth. He had work to do. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. That is not a not so subtle warning. And they still screwed it up, right? And this is where we're getting to. Verse 18. So God gave him a job. He gave him some responsibilities. He gave him some guardrails for his life. Hey, these are the things, really, the one thing you shouldn't do. And then he gives him Eve. He says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, the word helper here does not mean subservient or less than. It is a helpmate. It is one who stands beside and works together and labors together, co-equal in the labor and the effort. And so when we look at the original power couple, what we see is that God gave Adam a job as an individual. He gave him work to do, but he saw that it's better. There's a greater return on the labor if he has someone there with him, walking with him, toiling with him, laboring with him. And we're no different. We are better together because we get a greater return on the effort and the work that we do. And our work, when we join arms, we lock arms and we say that we're going to stand together, that we're going to make a difference in the world that we live in. We are called to influence culture. That is such a massive statement that sometimes I think it's so grandiose that we don't even pursue it. But you're called to influence the culture at your job. You are called to influence the culture of your family. You're called to influence the culture sometimes of your car. When you're in your car and you're all up in your feelings and you're mad, you turn on a sad song and it makes you want to cry, right? What's the song about somebody shot a jukebox and played a sad song, made him cry? I grew up listening to country. Y'all back off, right? But sometimes it's small things, small ways that we influence culture. And that's one of our primary responsibilities. That's what we're called to do. That's the work that we are called to. And we get more work done when we do it together. We have a responsibility to lead people to see Jesus working in us. And that's what we do. When we model strong relationships, we're really just pointing people to Jesus. Because this is what every relationship endures: conflict. Because we're different, because we're so unique, because you have your preferences and I have my preferences, there's inevitably going to be some tension. There's going to be a disagreement and some conflict. And now this is the way that the world and Facebook works. If I don't agree with you, I hate you. Y'all act like I'm wrong, right? Because if I'm wrong, prove me wrong. Show me otherwise. Because everything that I see is like, I don't agree with your political views. I don't believe with, you know, this, your ethnicity, your socioeconomic status, blah, 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 blah. Name it, right? And because we're not the same, I don't like you. And so when the world starts to see people who are completely different from completely different places in life, and they lock arms and they work together and they say that, hey, what we're doing is so much more important than the differences that we have. Man, you want to talk about making a difference in the world that we live in. When you see people that can actually have a civil conversation and not an argument and not bring their mother into it, that is displaying the love of Jesus to the world around. It is a demonstration of the grace of God that, hey, I know for a fact that I'm not perfect, and I don't even expect you to be perfect. Because we're not perfect, because God loves us in spite of us, I'm going to have grace towards you, and you're going to have grace towards me, and we're going to stand together because the work that we're doing is so much more important than the differences that we have. That's what we get to do. That's part of our work and our responsibility. And that is how we influence culture. I heard a poem this week. It's really kind of childish in a lot of ways, but it's so good. It says this: by the way that we live and the actions that we have and the attitudes and the words that we speak, it says that we are a demonstration of the gospel. So here's the poem. It says, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true, say, what is the gospel according to you? We have a responsibility to influence the people that are around us, to lead people to Jesus, to show them what grace is. And the way that we do that is how we treat each other, how we love. Jesus said that the world will know you're my disciples, my followers, by the way that you love one another. And that's what we're called to. We are called to be power couples, not all the same, but embracing our differences and locking arms instead and working together. That's what we're called to do. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we are so thankful that you have made each and every one of us different, unique. God, I believe that we are handcrafted. That you've got a very specific plan for each and every person in this room. And what's so great about that plan is that we're called to do it together, to pursue it together, that even though my plan may be a little different than somebody else's, that we all have ways of interacting and influencing and helping one another along this journey. God, and we're so thankful for that. God, I'm so thankful that your love and your grace and your mercy is greater than any differences that we have. But God, I also know that it's not easy. And I know that it has its challenges, and it's an incredibly difficult thing at times to sacrifice and to compromise for the success of the relationship. But God, I know that you have expected it of us, so you will help us to do it. So God, I just pray for grace in this room. God, for every person that's in a marriage, God, for grace in the marriages. For every couple, God, that's pursuing you as the third strand in their cord, and they're trying to make their lives work together. God, I pray for grace for every friendship. God, for every parent, for every child. God, for every worker and owner, business owner, employer. God, that we would just demonstrate your love for us in the way that we treat other people. Thank you so much for giving us this wisdom, this insight on how to be power couples. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.